In that verse of scripture that I just read and ask you to pay close attention to the second part of that, we see things that are done for now, and that's normally where we are. If I want something done, I think in the now time frame, and we live in the time. God's not living in time. He is eternal, and there's no connection except that time is in eternity. But he is not that way. But what we do for now, and we also do it for eternity, or else it's going to fall short of what God wants. So if you as an individual this next year have some good ideas about helping people, and you'd like to put those into action, God would be pleased with that. But I would say whatever you do, make sure that you have an eternal focus and not just a short-term now focus. Amen? Because it should remain. And as a church, Liberty Fellowship Church, whatever we do as a congregation, as we come together by the members, or just that you attend here and you've made yourself a part of this church by how you feel about it, it is important that you join if you wish to. I've had folks who didn't want to do that over the years, and I've had some of those who were just as faithful or more faithful than those who have signed up. But I would say to you, it'll be a strength for you and it'll be a strength for the church if you'll do that. I think it's that important. But as we work together as a church, I'll do my best to do what God wills for me to do for you as your pastor. And if we work together, we don't want to just do things for the now. We do those things, but we want to do things that will touch people's hearts and change them forever. I was reading this little article in 2012, Forbes magazine, and I'm sure some of you know that the name Forbes magazine. They listed the billionaires. That's folks who make a little money. But they were listing the billionaires who had contributed to charitable causes. And in listing these, they had one specific billionaire who was different than all the rest. Most of the billionaires had given charitable income to medical people in hospitals and special hospitals like children's hospitals and sciences and things of that nature. Then there was this one billionaire who had made large contributions to evangelical Christian causes. And their question was, isn't that terrible that we would question them but not question the people who want to give to the medical and the sciences? But they did. They questioned the billionaire as to why he chose to give his income to evangelical Christian causes instead of the sciences and the medical and everything. Well, he said there's nothing wrong with the medical and the sciences. He said, but I made a choice one day, and he said, I told God that this is yours, God. It's all yours. And whatever God would lay on his heart to help, he would help that. And so he chose to help those causes that were for eternity. That's where he was. And I thank God that he led him to do that. A little phrase he could have added in there if he had wanted to. I don't know that he did, but all good works are good. We'll have to agree with that. If you do something good for someone, it's good to do that. I would have to agree with that. But not all good works will last forever. If you mow your neighbor's yard one week, the next week, it'll need mowing again. Right? But if you bring a person to understand and know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that doesn't have to be done again. That'll take them right on into glory. If they truly repent of their sin and ask for forgiveness and give their heart and life to the Lord, that's an eternal decision. So we need to be focused on the things that are eternal while we're doing those things that are temporal. The ultimate joy, and I have a lot of joy in working for the Lord, and I'm looking at every one of you, and I see the joy on your faces when you come to the house of God, when I'm intermingling with you during the week and you're doing something. I see joy on your faces for how you love the Lord and what you're doing for the Lord. But there is an ultimate joy. There's always that ultimate joy. And that ultimate joy in life comes when we invest our time, our efforts, our money, everything, I shouldn't say his money, his time and his efforts. If we invest those things in the cause for Christ and bear fruit according to that, because this message is go and bear fruit. And we want to do that in 2020. We want to go and bear fruit. But sometimes we just need to know, how in the world do I do that? How do I go and bear fruit? How do I become that person who is filled with joy because I'm allowing God to work in me? Because that's how you're going to bear fruit. And that ultimate joy is in those things that we bear fruit that are for now and for eternity. I get a joy out of giving someone that something that helps them right now. I do. But my ultimate joy has always been that I gave someone the verse of Scripture, John 3:16, and other verses that would allow them to understand the plan of salvation, and that they repent of their sin of unbelief and say, I want Jesus Christ as my Savior. Nothing thrills me more than that. There is not a joy bigger than that, folks. Are you with me? You haven't gone to sleep yet, have you? That you're not supposed to do that until about 5 till 12. So don't go now on me. Yeah, we're talking about doing something for the next year, and I'm trying to, according to what God laid on my heart, give you an idea of how we're going to bear fruit. So I'm going to spread the word. Everybody with me on this? We're going to spread the word because His eternal word will bring eternal results. And that could just be your friend, it could be your family member, or it could be you. That you need to make a change this year that will not just be for the temporary time, but for eternal. It's for the sake of souls. Souls are eternal, and souls need that eternal change. In 2020, we need to keep the eternal things in focus. And as we lay things out to do, such as our revival in March, I hope you know that when I come up with that date and contacted those men to come and share the gospel, that we talked about making changes for eternity. We talked about making changes in Liberty Fellowship Church, but for eternity. And we can only do that as we listen to the will of God. So spreading the word is necessary to do that. I love staying in focus on what we're doing, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to declare in our own minds and our own hearts and as a church that we're going to bear fruit this next year. We're going to go, that's why hey, he said it, we're going to go and bear fruit. Let's take a look at it. I'm going to ask a couple questions as I normally do because I think to answer questions is a good way for you to find out. This just may be the question that you had in your mind. If not, I'll plant it there, and then we'll get the answer for the question, okay? Where does fruit come from? I went into Food City yesterday, went back in the produce department. I love the produce department. And I see all these oranges, big, nice, beautiful navel oranges and the little tangerines and the little halos and all those things. I see apples of all sizes, shapes, and descriptions, bananas, and man, I love that fruit department. Do y'all love fruit like I do? Love that fruit department. That's a temporal fruit. If I buy 5 bananas today and I eat a banana a day, by the time I get to that 5th banana, that sucker's not the same color. right? So we know that fruit is temporal, the fruit that we see in the produce stand. The kind of fruit I'm talking about is when I share that fruit, it never changes. It doesn't change color. It doesn't change meaning. It doesn't change anything about it whatsoever. In eternity, I'm talking about. So where does this fruit come from? Well, to know that, I've got to take you back farther in the scripture than what I just read this morning from verse 13 to 16. I'm going to take you back to verse 1 through 5 right now to get you started with this question. Where does fruit come from? Notice this. You don't have to turn here and do this. I'm going to read it for you because here's what he said. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, that's how he started this whole thing about bearing fruit. And we know that if you have a grapevine, I seem to have one, and I get some nice grapes off of it at the end of the summer. Sometimes the birds get their share, and I get what's left. But I love the fruit of that vine. I do. And here he's talking about something that will bear fruit. But he's saying, I am the true vine. Now, the reason he said that was because Israel was his vine. Israel was his vine. But now he's dealing with another people. He's dealing with the church. He's going to be talking to the church. He's going to be talking to Liberty Fellowship today. And he's saying to us, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. Now, that's kind of scary, isn't it? But now, remember how they did this. And some folks want to take these folks that he's talking about here to hell. That's not where this is going at all. But now, I can say, if you're wanting to look like a part of the vine, did I say that right? If you're wanting to look like a part of the vine and you want to look like a branch and you're not a branch, you have a problem. So make sure that your life is connected to Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and you're not a lookalike. You don't want to pretend that you're a branch on the vine just for people to see and maybe see you that way. What good is that when you pass on? It's not going to be any good. What they saw is not going to matter. What God sees now and what he'll see when you come into glory is a different thing. So he says, I am that true vine, and every branch that beareth not fruit in me is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. That means he cleanses it. That word purgeth. He cleanses it. He prunes it. He cuts it. He cuts off the dead and useless things, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I'm going to share that's a good truth right there. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Remember that. If you have decided that you want to be a good Christian and you want to bear some fruit this next year, if you're going to do that, just keep in mind the fruit is not in you. It's not your fruit. He says you cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. So that gives us the hint. It's going to come from the vine or you can't do it. And what did he say? I'm the true vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Laid that out pretty plain, didn't he? I don't think we have to worry about who's the vine and who's the branches now. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's a praise item. For without me ye can do nothing. Now let's just take a look at those few verses and see what the key to this as far as where does fruit come from. Fruit comes from the fact that we abide in him, the vine. That's where it comes from. Now I'm going to give you a little a better explanation than just that one sentence. The Lord's followers are to be fruitful. We are. I want to be. And I believe every child of God wants to be fruitful. And fruitful doesn't mean that you give somebody $5 for groceries. Fruitful means that you have a relationship with God where you are committed and faithful to Him. Your eyes are on Him. He'll show you the people who need help. He'll show you the people who need clothing and food and money. He'll do that. And as He does, we can do it. But let's keep our eyes on Him because He is the vine. So we're all followers are to be fruitful. And fruitfulness results when we learn the secret of abiding in Christ. When I not understand the fruit or where it comes from or what it is, I want to know where it's coming from. And what He's telling me is that I'm going to know this when I understand the secret of abiding in Him. And I just read the scripture, so now we'll take a look at it. Israel was God's vine, but He said this, I am the true vine and my Father is a husband. The Lord is referring here to the church, and He says the Father is the one who has the pruning saw. You say, now, wait a minute, I didn't ask for any pain here. If I'm going to be a Christian, I want it to be a nice experience. Well, it will be a nice experience. It'll be better than a nice experience if you're a child of God. But if you're a child of God and there is no fruit coming forth from your life that could be good for now and eternity, we need to take a look at it. Because God the Father has the pruning saw. This is how He cleanses. He purges. And He's going to cut off all the little dead limbs. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was coming to church this morning, I saw lots of little dead twigs and little dead limbs along my streets coming out of my neighborhood and down through the other streets. They were everywhere because a good wind came through last night that just absolutely delivered that tree of all the dead branches. And I bet that tree said, thank you, Lord, for that wind. You just cleaned up my life. Well, He's going to cleanse, folks. He's going to purge, and He's going to purge the dead out of our lives. He's going to purge the useless things out of our life. And we've got useless things that needs to be purged. And if we take a good look at our life in 2020, we'll want to be cleaned up and purged. We'll want Him to get His pruner out and cut those dead things off and those useless things, those unproductive branches. We want those taken off so that we can be what He wants us to be. But there is a more gentle way than doing that. And I'm sure you're saying, is there anything, I know I made it sound really bad there, but is there a better way? Is there an easier way to do that, a gentler way? Well, there actually is, but in a sense, it's the same thing. It's using the Word of God to do the thing. Well, I understand that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts asunder. And it swings both ways. It's a double edge. And he can cut and take care of things with the Word of God. But it is a more gentle method than keeping the cleansing by him having to. Remember the story about the bit and the bridle? He says, I tell you what, I'd like for you to be led by the bridle, but if I have to put a bit in your mouth, you're not going to like it, but I do it because I love you, and I want to keep you in control, and if you won't be in control with the bridle, I'll have to put the bit in the mouth. And it's pretty much the same thing right here. I will prune your life. If you're my child, I'm going to prune you, and I'm going to make sure that you know what it takes to abide in me. Because if we're going to abide in Him, folks, He's going to prune the vine. He is. And He will do it. So to bear fruit, we've got to abide in the vine. Abiding means that we have moved in. We've put our furniture in there. You know, when you see people putting furniture in, you know they're serious about where they're going to live, right? You would worry about folks who just bought a house and never put a thing in it, just can't come and go from an empty house, but you put fruit, you put your furniture in there, you got a feeling they're going to stay. Well, that's what abiding means. Abiding means you're going to move in. You're going to mean business with what you're saying. I want us to move in this next year. I want us to move in, put our furniture in, commit Commit to that. Commit to the work that God has for us to do here and move and put our furniture in. So he says, if you're going to bear fruit, you must abide in the vine, because the vine is a little more than just to tell us what to do. It is everything. It expresses the fruit that comes from him. That's what it does. It expresses, if I'm a branch and I'm producing fruit, I can't take credit for that, because it doesn't come from the branch. It comes from the vine. If you have apple trees in your yard, the reason you have fruit on those branches is because that nutrient sap that comes from the roots and up through the trunk gets out into the branches and it produces. It only produces because there is a source for that. And he says, I am that source. And the fruit that we're talking about here, it's mine. And I say to you, let's go win the lost. Let's do that. But let's understand that it's not us that's doing that. All we're going to do is share the word of God that changes a person's life. Where's the fruit coming from? Well, it comes from him. And as we abide in him, it's not a problem. You don't have to worry about, well, what am I going to do? He'll talk to you. Don't you know that the vine talks to the branches? Why does a branch do what it does? Because it comes from the vine. And the same way with us in our spiritual work, we do what God tells us to do if we're abiding in the vine. The closer we are to him, the closer he's going to be to us, and the more he's going to be able to produce fruit through us. So let's give out all the food and clothing and help we can this next year, but let's make sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that this is more than just a food and clothing help spot. This is a place where people can get to know Jesus Christ, who died for them on an old rugged cross so that they could have eternal life with him in heaven. That's what we want to be. I've seen so many watered down churches here lately. And to be honest with you folks, that's not going to stand the test. It's not going to stand the test. And I want us to be a soul saving station. So now you understand that where this fruit is coming from. It's coming from him. Right directly through the vine into us, the branches. Do y'all feel like a branch right now? Raise your hand if you feel like a branch. Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, think about what I just said. Okay, because if you're not a part of that vine, I would beg you, I would get down on my knees and beg you, get to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, so that you can honestly say, I am a part of the vine, because he is the vine, and I'm a branch, and I want to work for him. I want to produce fruit for him, and I know to do that, I'm going to allow him to produce fruit through me. Okay, now you need to know how it's produced. Well, I don't totally understand that, but I'm going to give you what the Word of God says, and I believe that'll be sufficient. That if you understand that to abide in the vine is how it comes about, then now I want to tell you how it's produced. Don't understand all the technology of a lot of things, but I see the end result. And I see the end result in how a person comes to Jesus Christ and how their life is changed and how they become a better person in this life, not just a better person, but a saved person. A person is on their way to glory. But let's take a look at how the fruit is produced. It is produced by the faithfulness of Christ. I would like to say that everyone that's in here this morning could say, I'm a child of God, and I want to be a faithful child of God. I want to be faithful to his cause. I want to be faithful to the people around me. I want to be faithful to my church. I want to be faithful. But I want you to understand that it's not our faithfulness that counts. Even though it is important that I be a faithful Christian, it's his faithfulness that makes the difference. Because by his faithfulness, the fruit is produced. Always by his faithfulness. His life is ours. His fruit is ours. That's never going to change. You can't make it yours. Abide in him, and you will see that your life will absolutely abound in producing fruit, because that's what he does. That's what he is. That's the vine is the factory. It's the factory for the fruit. So if we're going to do some good things this next year, let's just remember that it came from the factory. It came from him. It came from the vine. He is the one that makes the difference. So then our Father, if he's the one who does the pruning, he's the one who takes away all the dead and useless and unproductive branches that's out there so that that vine can be really healthy looking and produce nice big grapes on it, you know, and everyone can be happy and joyful when they go and pick the fruit. If that's the way it is, why would that be important to him? Because it's his fruit, and he needs to be glorified in what's being produced in his name. I'm not going out to win souls in my name or in the name of Liberty Fellowship Church. If I'm going out to win souls, it's so that God in heaven can be glorified, because he's the one who's going to change the life. He's the one, only one that's going to lead that life into a deeper walk with him. So our Father in heaven needs to be glorified when we bear fruit. In fact, he says, the Bible says, that if we bear much fruit, he is glorified. So not only do I want to bear fruit, I want to bear more fruit. And I want to bear much fruit. I'm never going to be happy with just winning one soul to Christ and saying, well, I did my part. Now we'll just see how the rest of them get there. It's a day-to-day, minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour. Folks, every time God places a person in our sight, we need to be a witness for him. We need to bear fruit, the fruit that can only come from him. So look at verse 19 or 9 through 3 if you or 13. I want to read this to you, because now I'm going to give you the nutrient, because we're talking about how it's produced. Right? How it's produced. There has to be some elements in there that make this happen. What's going to cause you to ask somebody if they know Jesus Christ as their Savior? And you're going to say a lot of courage. Watch this. There's got to be an element there that encourages you and gives you the courage to actually do that. Because I know that for some folks, it takes a lot of courage to talk to a person you've never met or a person you don't know very well, and you say, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, I can't do that. I go into panic attacks. You don't have to go into a panic attack when you're asking somebody if they're ready to go into eternity knowing Jesus Christ, because it makes a difference. And here's the element. Here's the nutrient that you have. It is available to you, comes to you through the vine. It's there. You just need to let the Lord speak through you. Here's what he says. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Yeah, you're speaking for someone who loves you. And that someone is not just your next door neighbor. He is the God of heaven. He says, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So when you speak to a person, you're speaking to them through the love of God for them. You're actually saying to them, I know someone who loves you more than anybody on earth could ever love you. Because he cares for your eternal soul. He wants you to be with him in eternity. That's what you're saying to them. And they'll get it. Believe me. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, he's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done. He's abiding in the love of his Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. They're three, yet one. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I promise you that if you lead a person to Christ, your joy is going to overflow. You'll be drinking from your saucer because your cup has overflowed. Promise you that'll happen. If you've already done that, you know what I'm talking about. This is my commandment, that you love one another. You say, well, I know that. Remember, I'm putting this all together. This is not just a statement that we make, oh, I'm a Christian and I know I'm supposed to love everybody. No, I mean, we have to seriously ask the question, do I? Because he said, this is my commandment. It's not an option. You don't have an option to love me. Thank you. You will. That sound like a command? Not mine, keep in mind. But he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. That means everybody here loves everybody here and everybody out there. But we love everybody here. It's easy to love y'all. Y'all are so lovable. Almost all of you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love you? Unconditional. Agape love. Not eros or filio. He agape loves you. He loves you for no reason at all. If you meet a total stranger out here, and you don't know them from Adam, you need to know that God's love wants to shine through your life to them. That's what you need to know. And you're going to allow that to happen. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Two things now are mentioned, more than just the one. The love is mentioned, but the friends are mentioned. We're more than friends to him. We're more than friends to each other. We actually love each other. And we love each other, not that's no good of mine, because he says, I want you to love each other like I loved you. I'm just being an example of his love for me. I'm sharing that. So when I go out to go to bear fruit, I'm going to take what he is and I'm just going to share it. That's all. I'm taking the vine out there and saying, here he is. Here's the vine. This is the key to bearing fruit. The key to bearing fruit is that I take that nutrient, that element of his love for me, and I share it for all those people out there who are dying and going to hell. I love them. I don't know how to tell you how to understand that I love somebody I don't even know. I can't tell you that. I just know we are to love that. We're to love that soul, the very soul of them. I know this is a terrible example, but y'all just have to say, God bless him. I love dogs. Not just my two dogs that I have. Every time I see a dog, that lady goes up and down the street out here on Sunday morning with that big white pit bull out there, and boy, he's beautiful. And he is so friendly and nice. He's such a good dog. And I see little dogs and big dogs. Any of y'all ever see good dog, big dog, little dogs, and you like them all? Stacy, don't raise your hand. That's just pause there. I love dogs. Every time I see a dog, I want to throw it in the car and take it home with me. That's somebody else's dog, though. But I do that. Well, what am I saying here? I'm saying here that when I bear fruit, when I see a person who is lost, I don't have to know the background of that lost person. I don't have to know where that dog comes from. I don't have to know it doesn't matter for me if it's a purebred or a 57. It doesn't matter. It's a puppy or a dog, and I just love different dogs. I do. Now, when I go out to win the lost, I don't have to know where they came from. If they're from the north, I love them anyway. Amen? Yeah. If they're from the south, or east, west, it doesn't make any difference. What color they are, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I am there because they're a soul. And I know that he is all about souls, and all I'm doing is representing him. So in 9 through 13, we find out that the nutrient for us to do that is that we love our fellow man. And then he says, I want you to be